My next guest this afternoon is on the line. He is Rabbi Moshe Silberhaft. He is also known as the Traveling Rabbi. The reason that I'm speaking to him is I read an article not long ago talking about the forgotten grave that shaped South African Jewish history. I thought, what a fascinating story that would be. To talk about it is Rabbi Moshe Silberhaft. Thank you for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you, Simon. How are you?
I am strong. I'm just wondering whether you have got an anecdote about Chai FM that perhaps you want to share with us this afternoon before we get into the real business of the day.
I don't have any anecdotes, but it's a great radio station. I salute Kathy for her 21 years of effort, putting it on the map. Right around the world, people are listening, and it's a great radio station. And Senna contacted me this morning to find out how we can expanded into our 9 African countries, and I said that I'd cooperate with her and help her.
That's exciting.
See how, and hopefully we can get it out there even further.
That's very, very, very exciting. Rabbi, thanks for that. Now I want you to weigh in on the story of Lion Benjamin and his burial in 1838. Tell us the backstory. Who was he? Why was it important?
Right, so basically the history of South African Jewry goes back to the 1820 settlers. First recorded Jews, identified Jews, arrived in Algoa Bay. Port Elizabeth really wasn't a functioning community. There wasn't even a real Port Elizabeth. And so Grahamstown, the town, was already established, so they went to Grahamstown. And in 1838, Mr. Lion Benjamin passed away. There wasn't an identified or a consecrated Jewish cemetery. And so 5 gentlemen went to Lieutenant Governor Colonel John Hare at the time and said to him, listen, you know, we Jews have a special way of doing burial. We live separately, we worship together, and we bury separately. And therefore, we'd like a burial ground for our people. And he gave them a piece of ground right next to the railway, railway line, in fact. He was buried there, and at the time, obviously, for whatever reason, there was a war going on, and there was no, possibly he didn't have much family or whatever it is, and there was no tombstone put on his grave. And I've been visiting that cemetery for the last 32 years.
Yeah.
And next to his grave is the famous Joshua David Norden, who was killed in a war a number of years later. And it always interested me why this grave next to him didn't have a stone, but yet his grave had this fancy stone. And I came across an article in the Jewish Affairs magazine, and there was a story about this chap, Lion Benjamin, and there's the information about it. So we did some further research in the Cape Town archives, and we identified that that was the stone. And I respect South African Jewish history, and it's very important that we identify what we can. You know, we're a diminishing community, a rapidly diminishing community, and South African Jewry is basically Glen Hazel, Sandton, and Seapoint. And we need to try and save what we can Jewish history-wise. And so what we did, the Small Jewish Communities Association, who I work with, mm-hmm. we made this tombstone with all the relevant information about this gentleman, and it's all on my Facebook page. And I had it sent down to Grahamstown, and the man that works for me down there erected on his grave. And for the last 180 years, his grave was not identified, and now it is identified. And we discovered that, in fact, he was the first Jewish burial, recorded Jewish burial in South Africa. People always think that Cape Town had the first recorded Jewish burial.
Which is, exactly. That's exactly what I would have thought. I mean, why would it have been Grahamstown of all places? It just seems so out of the way.
Well, as I said, they arrived in Grahamstown in 1820, and he died then, soon afterwards, 1838.
Pretty remarkable story. Was he buried by a rabbi? Yeah. Do we know that?
There were no rabbi at the time. There was 5 gentlemen at the time. And don't forget, rabbis only came around in the 1900s. There was no such thing as a rabbi.
You're joking.
They were reverends in those days.
Okay.
Rabbis an American creation. Britain never had rabbis. Rabbis used to wear dog collars. In Cape Town, they had Reverend Bender never wore a yarmulke. He only wore a dog collar because that was a British thing.
Absolutely
It's
fascinating.
Americanized. Only rabbis came along many years later. If you look at Commonwealth history, British history, where we South African history, a lot of our rabbis came from England, etc. It's very different. So, it's easy to throw around things, rabbi, this and that, but we need to study our history very carefully.
Just let's talk about our history for just one moment, because we were very much a rural community at the start. The Jewish Shmos, and I should know that because my family very much came from that stock,
Right.
spread out all over the country into the most furthest flung places imaginable. What happened to Jews who died out in Port Noloth or up in wherever it would be? Did most of them just not receive Jewish rites and Jewish burials?
Most of them did because in over 1,600 towns and railway sidings, Jews established themselves, and there are over 220 Jewish cemeteries around South Africa. First things Jews did when they established themselves in small towns is they established little communities of 10, 15 families. First thing they did, as I said, they worshiped together, and then when they died, they buried, they established Jewish cemeteries. So they're over 30,000 Jewish graves spread across South Africa. And people that follow me on Facebook can see that there's cemeteries from one grave in Adelaide to Clockerline to hundreds in other towns.
What a fascinating
And
story, yeah.
and that's what kept them together. That's what kept them together. They were very, very strong. Their tradition was very, very strong. They worshiped very differently than today. Often they'd open Friday night, daven early Saturday morning, and they'd go to work afterwards because the business was there on Shabbat, etc.
So I'm going to have to
Whatever
leave
it
this.
is.
I'm going to have to leave this because we're kind of out of time. I'm just interested. This must be a massive financial drain upon resources. 30,000 graves scattered all over the country. How are they looked after?
We're desperate for finances. I don't want to step onto your toes today because you're raising R1 million for FAFM.
Correct.
But
Yeah.
we, as absolutely, we when communities close, we ask them to leave their assets with us. The money goes into trust accounts. The capital is not touched. The interest is used for the cemeteries. But if people would like to contribute, if they have particularly family members buried in the country communities, they can contact us through my Facebook page or through my email address, thetravelingrabbi@gmail.com. And they can contribute. I always say to people before you cut me off, many Jews have left South Africa. Let our children, let us not do what people have done, left this country and don't look back and have abandoned their families that are buried here. There are hundreds of thousands of Jewish graves in South Africa, and their families do not look back and contact and see what's happening to their family graves here. And it's a very sad situation.
Rabbi Moshe Silberhaft, the traveling rabbi, thank you for chatting to me about that really fascinating story about Lion Benjamin. Really appreciate your time today.